Good evening.
We got the same cast of characters that are here. Nobody likes to be called a character, but you do have character, the character of Christ. That's part of the mystery. Somehow, he imparted his character to weak, frail, and sinful human beings so that we might be like him in some way, some small way, and all of us together in the fullness of who he is, arms and legs, hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the mystery snapshots of Jesus Christ given to us by Paul and the others. Paul and John in particular. Wonderful things about Christ that no one else seems to know, that no one else knew at the time, and that they learned by reading the scriptures, the inspired messages that were given to them, sent in letters, and in the Gospels, and the Epistles, and the Revelation given to John, and the great revelation, mystery revelation given to the Apostle Paul, that which filled full the Word of God. We thank you for these things that are so wonderful. And as we look at them once again tonight, just set our hearts aflame and ablaze by the Holy Spirit with these truths, so that they would consume us and we would be occupied with the person of Christ and have that happy life that only occupation with Christ brings and delivers to each one, anyone who will behold as in a glass his glory, to be changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Lord who is the Spirit. We thank you for these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Mystery Snapshots of Jesus, Tuesday, January 5th, 2021. On Sunday, Terry will be teaching. And on Tuesday, Terry will be teaching because he loves the Word of God. He's got messages that are all pent up inside of him, and he has to discharge them. Right, Terry? That's true. I can't wait to hear him. It's going to be a wonderful time. Plus, I could use a little break. You say, you don't do that much, do you? On a daily basis? No, I really don't, but I'm just going to take a break. Because Terry has to teach. The Lord said, let him teach two messages, and then you come back. So I said, okay, Lord. I said, yes, sir. Saluted him. So, the mystery is not only knowing the facts that Paul presents under that category called mysterion, the mystery, but it is seeing them, the things that we know, and the things that we understand as being remarkable and wonderful beyond comparison. And as a result, having them do their deep work of transforming our thoughts, our mind, our will, our conscience, and our self-consciousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mystery. That is, the mystery in himself, in his own person. He is the personal expression of the mystery. In Colossians 2:1 it says, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea. We're in Laodicea. And for all those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. Christ is the mystery of God. It is so mysterious that God Almighty, the Creator of all that exists, in order to reveal himself as gracious, would create angels and humans, and then would become the weaker of the two, a human being, to show himself kind and benevolent, and yet without concession or compromise, to redeem mankind and exalt him above the angels, when in the end, those who are sons by faith in Jesus Christ are glorified. The story of Ephesians 2:4. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead. This is really good news. and explains so much. In our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And listen to this. So that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness to us in Christ Jesus. What's the plan of God? To show his exceeding great kindness toward you. Isn't that something, Matt? He told me about that verse last week. It stuck. I listened to what you say. He said, it's all about him wanting to demonstrate and show his kindness, his great kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Moreover, the church, which is the body of Christ, consists of those slated to be gods. Well, I know, that's strange. You don't hear that. You won't hear that on the radio or coming from any pulpits around, you know, the area or anywhere probably in the world, or too many places, that is. But slated to be gods and glorious even as he is, in 1 John 4:17. As he is in this world, so are we. As he is, so are we in this world. Those commanded to walk around as he did in the days of his unglorified humanity, living by every word of God and filled with the Spirit continually. 1 John 2:6, John 3:34. John had a pretty good grasp on the mystery of godliness, as Paul calls it in 1 Timothy 3:16. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. They were doing this frequently. They were appalled at the things that he said. Jesus answered them, I showed you many good works from the Father. For which one of these are you stoning me? The Jews answered him, for a good work we're not stoning you, but for blasphemy. Because you, being only a man, make yourself out to be God. Jesus answered them, has it not been written in your law, I said you are gods? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified, sent into the world, you're blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? We're all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, Galatians 3:26. It's the mystery that reveals Christ's true identity and activity in John 8:24-30. He says, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. So talking to the Pharisees. He says, for unless you believe that I am, ego I me, same as Yahweh in the Old Testament, I am he, I am the Lord, you will die in your sins. So they were saying to him, who are you? It's a very important question. One that we all need to resolve. Jesus said to them, what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I have many things to speak and to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and the things which I heard from him, these I speak to the world. They did not realize that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and I do nothing on my own initiative, but I speak these things as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone. For I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he spoke these things, many came to believe in him. The mystery envelops and involves his pre-existent eternal deity. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning. Before the beginning. The beginning was beginning, before anything else existed or began. The Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It involves his incarnation in John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's a great mystery, that the Word, that eternal God, put on a human body and limited His activity and the prerogatives and privileges of His deity, and condescended, emptied Himself, kenao, and became obedient, became a servant, a slave, and became obedient to death, even death, the most ignominious, shameful, and dishonoring death on a cross, to become a curse for us by hanging on a tree. Galatians 3:13. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. Glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Indeed He is. John testified about Him and cried out, saying, "This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for He ever existed before I did." That's called understatement. It involves, the mystery involves His condescension in Philippians 2, verse 6. Who, although He existed in the very likeness, inside and out, of God, Morphe, did not regard Isis, equality. Here's Isis. Father, Son, and Spirit. Isosceles triangle. Each side is the exact same length and dimension. And the three together is God. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Son is God, the Father, and the Spirit, and the Son, as is each one. Father, Son, and Spirit, God. One God. Not three, but one. Isis, where we get the word isosceles, equal sides. With God, a thing to be grasped. He did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But empty, kenao, Himself, taking on the form of a slave and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, He tapainao, humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the extent of death, even death on a staro, on a cross. The mystery involves His vicarious, versatile, substitutionary, atoning death by crucifixion. It was forecast in Psalm 22:16, "For dogs have surrounded me." As the Lord spoke by David's mouth, "A band of evildoers has encompassed me. They pierced my hands and my feet." The form of execution and torture was unknown, even unheard of, at that time. And for nearly a millennia, David wrote these things in 1000 B.C., long before crucifixion was a form of execution, long before the Romans existed. Isaiah 53:3, "He was despised." You tell me who this is talking about. "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief." Is that the Jewish people that's being referred to here? And all of the difficulties that they've endured, and the persecution, the anti-Semitism, and the evil dictators that try to annihilate the race, try to wipe them out. No, he's talking about somebody. He's a Jew, all right. Jesus. "He was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised. And we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. He was chastened for our well-being. The chastening of God fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." The mystery includes, of course, his victorious proclamation, Psalm 22:31. And John 19:30, "It is finished." Psalm 22:31, "They will come and will declare His righteousness." to a people who will be born that it is wrought, set, and finished. Asah in the Hebrew. John 19:30. Therefore, when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." Dramatic perfect tense of teleao means it is completed, is finished, paid in full. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit, O God of truth. Psalm 31:5. The mystery includes his resurrection. Every precaution was taken to secure the tomb so that no one could take the body of Jesus. But when the disciples arrived, after he was buried, laid in a rich man's tomb, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, there were two angels sitting on the great stone that had been placed over the entrance of the sepulcher, that until the angel moved it, had a tamper-proof seal of wax and string and a 24-hour armed guard that were rendered unconscious. In Luke 24:1, but on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And I said it many times, it wasn't rolled away so Jesus could get out. It was rolled away so we could go in and look and see what had occurred. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't find the Shroud of Turin either. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothes. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again?" It's all part of the mystery. The mystery involves his ascension. In Acts 1:4, gathering them together, Jesus gathering them together, he's ready to take off. There's a cloud coming for him, a silver cloud, Rolls Royce silver cloud limousine. Gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for that which the Father had promised. That is the Holy Spirit, which he said, "You heard of from me. For John baptized in the medium of water, but you will be baptized in the medium of the Holy Spirit not many days hence," not many days from now. So when they had come together, they were asking him, saying, "Lord, is it at this time you are restoring the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even the remotest parts of the earth." And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men, same two guys, two angels, in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven." The mystery involves his super eminent exaltation. Next, Philippians 2:10 and 11. Philippians 2:9 says, "For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every other name and or title, royal title, so that the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The mystery also involves his parousia. In 1 Thessalonians 4:15. I'm giving you a lot of scripture tonight. Just listen to it. Just let it wash over you like the waves of the ocean. Cleanse your soul and bring a new and fresh excitement into your life, into your mind, into your mind, into your will, into your conscience and your self-consciousness, the four sectors of your soul. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that you are alive, but we who are alive and remain until the coming, the parousia, that's the word parousia, of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. With regard to the parousia, in the Greco-Roman world, a parousia was a celebration of the arrival of someone of distinction. It could be a person of political or military status, or a god represented by an idol and accompanied by priests. The church's liturgical calendar celebrates the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, a Christian adaptation of a pre-existent practice. It is important to note that such celebrated arrivals were planned in advance at the appointed time. Those being visited by the arriving dignitary or deity would go out of the city gate as a sign of welcome and respect. The townsfolk would then process back into the city with the honored visitor along with devotions and merriment. So in other words, you see, that's a picture of what will happen. We will go out to him and then return with him. That's parousia. The mystery also includes the Bema judgment, which is the family judgment, the judgment of commendation, not condemnation, for there is no condemnation, not one shred or stitch to those who are in Christ Jesus. Here we have the Bema judgment, part of the mystery, Romans 14:10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Or again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? Don't do it. Stop doing it. For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord. Another quotation of Isaiah 43:25 and Philippians 2:8-11. As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. This is God. Every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So then, each one of us will give an account of himself to God. 2 Corinthians 5:10 tells us a story with a few changes. He says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, the judgment seat of God, the judgment seat of Christ, one and the same. So that each may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether it was good or bad. That means if it's good, you get a reward. If it's bad, you don't. It's withheld and stored. The mystery also involves the weothesia. Weothesia not to be understood as modern adoption. That's a word that's translated adoption. It's not to be understood as modern adoption. Rather, it is the placement of sons in positions of authority and power based upon glorified capacity granted for ruling aristocracy, for renovation and rule over earthly kingdoms in the millennium, and over assigned territories and angelic spheres in the eternal state. With privileges and proximity, some exceeding others. Some exceed others less. Some less than others. Some more than others. Some less than others. It involves also his second advent. Matthew 24:29. It says, but immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's at the end of the tribulation period, 7 years of tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light and the stars will fall from the sky. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will not, parousia, will appear, phaino, P-H-A-I-N-O. That means it will come to light, cause to appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory, returning the same way that he left, in a Rolls-Royce Silver Cloud limo. Acts 1:10. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside him. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus has been taken away from you into heaven, will come in the same way." And we just see how he comes. We saw how he comes. As you have watched him go into heaven. The mystery also entails the explanation of the millennial kingdom reigning on earth. Believers reigning on earth with Christ. From the New Jerusalem, over the nations, commanding men and angels, running major renovation projects that restore the earth to its original pristine beauty. The whole earth will be restored into its pristine beauty. And some will be in charge of large projects to do that, of restoration, administering the kingdom of Christ in the beauty of holiness and righteousness and swift judgment. That is, ruling with a rod of iron, even as Jesus Christ does. His role as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Isaiah 11:4-9. But with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. And he will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. No wickedness, no sin or evil will be tolerated on earth. Also, righteousness will be the belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. He's going to be very kind and generous to all. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb. No more opposition, no more fear of man and animals, etc. And everything will be peace. And the leopard will lie down with the young goat, the calf, and the young lion, and the fatling together. It'll be a wonderful place. And a little boy will lead them. Also the cow and the bear will graze side by side. Their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The nursing child will play on the hole of the cobra. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. They will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Mystery also includes the truth and doctrines of the eternal state, the dissolution of the present universe, and the creation of the new heavens and the new earth in 2 Peter 3:13. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells at home. Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there's no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. The city coming down out of heaven. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, he is God. In the end, he is God. In the beginning, he is the only God. In the end, he is the one and only God." 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that will be abolished is death. And he has put all things in subjection under his feet. Either God is referenced here or Christ himself, who is God himself. But when he says all things are put in subjection, it is evident that he has accepted who put all things in subjection to him. When all things are subjected to him, this is the great consolidation. At the end, we won't need to know God in three persons. We'll know God is God, one God. And we will be so closely identified and associated with him. Will be one big happy family. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself also will be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. You think that's Christ? Looks a lot like him. Romans 11:36. For from him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To him be the glory forever. It says in our 1 Corinthians 15:28 passage, it says, that when all things are subjected to him, when the Son himself also be subjected to the one who subjected all things to him, so that God may be all in all. Romans 11:36 says, for from him, through him, and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Colossians 3:11, a renewal in which there is no distinction, talking about the body of Christ, between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but Christ is all and in all. God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, hanging on the cross, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing men's sins. He's given us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was in Christ, reconciling the world. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us. We beseech you, on behalf of Christ, the message of reconciliation. For he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:19-21. Colossians 2:9. For in him all the fullness of deity, Christ, dwells in a human body, in bodily form. Do you get that? In him all the fullness of deity, or the Godhead, Theotes, dwells in bodily form. And in him, you are filled, full, pleroma. He's pleroma, you're pleroma. All of us together, considered together. Made complete. He is the head over all rule and authority. And in him, you're also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands and a knife. In the removal of the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, when he was cut off from the land of the living. You were cut off from the Adamic nature and identity. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, not some, not most, but all of our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he's taken them out of the way, having nailed them to the cross. Christ in you, Colossians 1:26, is the hope and expectation of your glorification. And you and I are in Christ. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come to stay. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, since, not if, but since, fulfilled condition, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Nothing to look at here. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. All of this is ours in Christ, and the half has not been told. Even what is ours here and now in Christ, not to mention that which awaits every winner, sonship, citizenship, ownership, rulership, partnership, companionship, membership, fellowship, eternal friendship, the status and function of being a member in particular of the body of Christ, this side of eternity, part and parcel of the universal church body, arms and legs, hands and feet, fingers and toes. functioning in concert with the head, thinking the thoughts of the mind of Christ, who calls all the shots, who tells us to abide in the vine, remain in his love, continue in the word in John 15:7. If you abide in me, my words abide in you. Do you hear what he said? If you abide in me, by my words abiding in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. You're praying in accordance with his will. For my Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. And so prove, demonstrate that you are my disciples, even as Jesus did in the days of his humanity. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. You just stay under the canopy of his love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. You keep my word, love will continue to be asserted and grow wonderfully. He says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Don't you want to be really happy? Want to be happy for the rest of your life? Follow the instructions of the Lord. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, that your fruit would remain in 1 Corinthians 13:13. And now faith, hope, and charity, these three remain. That's all. Nothing more. The greatest of these is love. These three abide: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. But now faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love. There are three things that will endure: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. In 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me, Paul speaking like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation, and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is to be revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. If any man's work which he has built on it abides, remains, endures, he will receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It speaks volumes to us. The mystery is wonderful. All these things that we would see, and that we would retain, and that we would focus upon, meditate upon, and have a fresh and renewed excitement and reality from them as they course through the soul stream of consciousness and reside and circulate in our soul and reinvigorate our inner life and to be built up in our most holy faith in the inner man, listening to the voice of the Spirit, the still small voice of the Spirit and the Word of God, as it shouts the message of absolute truth and reality, grace and truth that came by Jesus Christ. So we focus on the person of Christ, occupied with him continuously for that great exceeding happiness, which he called abundant life. Life in all of its abundance, with abundant happiness, with the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace to reign in life by Jesus Christ. Romans 5, 17 and 21. We just thank you for all of these things this evening, Father. And if I could have my ushers, please, Father, bless the offering in Jesus' holy and precious name. We pray. And also, bless Terry and his the preparation for the upcoming messages and the execution of those messages in Jesus' name. Amen.